With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Fourth down. Snap is back with time. Rifles a throw. Incomplete. Broken up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it looks like Brady lost the down.
Fourth down.
Did he not know it was fourth down?
Yeah, he knew.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Fourth down.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero, Tampa Bay Times NFL reporter Rick Stroud, still to come, co-host of Good Morning Football, Nate Burleson, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
TJ Jefferson starts off the third hour in the same way he ended it in the second, with his higher register just a little shy. Just a little shy.
I think TJ's a good
one. Hour number three here. TJ Jefferson kicks us off. We're pleased that you're here with us. We're getting ready for a weekend in the NFL. I feel like your news update, Chris, every so often turns into a health and safety update with the National Football League. But that's what happens when you're not bubbled up, right? And again, if the NFL ever decided to bubble up because the outbreak is so significant and they can't keep it out of their buildings and they can't keep games from being rescheduled en masse, I mean, one or two a week is feasible. If it gets to like five or six and there's suddenly games all over the map, then it gets out of control and so on and so forth. But right now, I mean, if they ever bubbled up, what would you need? You'd need like I said, a spot with, 32 hotels or 30 hotels where, you know, or I guess what, like five, six hotels where you put four teams in, five teams. It's just, it's insane. And then the number of football stadiums you have, fields you would need and facilities. And it just, it's crazy to even think about it. And so we're waiting to hear right now about the positive test that is assumed positive for the New York Jets. Good news there is rerunning the test shouldn't take more than a few hours because they're just down the road from the place where they test in New Jersey. So we're waiting to hear on that, and then we're waiting to hear if there's anything more out of Tennessee or New England, and we're kind of holding our breath here. And then there's a conversation we just had with Rick Stroud about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and, how do they move forward? And Godwin's expected back and Fournette's expected back, but Vita Vea is done for the year, and that is a major loss on the defensive line. And then there's the conversation about the four downs last night. There are two four downs of Michigan men that everybody talks about in the NFL. Mine that I deliver on Tuesday.
Big talk of the week.
And then last night, Tom Brady, and did he know that it was fourth down? Because if he did, then why did he choose to shove the ball all the way down the field instead of just picking up a first down? And then why did he hold up four fingers afterwards with a look of somewhat bewilderment? Troy Aikman said on the spot, it looks like he didn't know.
He knew.
Here was Bruce Arians on that very subject today.
Right, I mean, here. I don't know how to answer it for him. I mean, we all knew it was fourth down. So I think he saw what he saw, you know.
Okay. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. We're going to sit on this one today. And then it's going to be way too long of a week next week for the team to be 3-2. And then the question about, did he know it? Did he not? Brady will be asked again in his next media availability sometime next week. I'm sure it'll rankle. And then it all has to come out in the wash against the Green Bay Packers a week from Sunday. That's what it is. And we'll talk about it, too. I'm sure we'll hit it on game day morning on Sunday. We'll hit it with Nate Burleson in literally 15 minutes' time. It's just an indication of the team is undisciplined on the penalty front, 11 penalties, 109 yards. It's been a problem for much of the year. They're now banged up, and it's supposed to be Brady who's the one who's buttoned up situationally more than everyone else. And if he's not in a crucial aspect of the fourth quarter that we're normally used to seeing him so pristinely perfect, then we talk about a team that is not on the same page, the dreaded not on the same page, and then maybe not ready for prime time. We'll have that conversation prior to their not actually in prime time, but definitely figuratively prime time game, late afternoon, week six on Fox, Packers at Bucks. Because that's as big time, prime time as it gets. And it would behoove the Bucks to hand Green Bay its first loss of the year and pull it all together, play a clean sheet game with the yellow flags, and then any situational mistakes. But for the moment, this whole four-down thing is going to be emblematic of what's going on with the team and the injuries for the next 10 days. Let's get to Chris Brockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Friday.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Christopher, what do you have?
Just some injuries here in the NFL as we get ready for the big weekend. Lamar Jackson hadn't practiced the last 2 days for the Ravens, dealing with a reported knee issue, also had an illness, non-COVID related, of course. He did return to the practice field today for Baltimore. According to Jeff Zriebeck, who covers the team, didn't look limited at all, wasn't wearing a brace, seems ready to go.
Okay.
So no fears there for the Ravens.
That's good.
A couple others. Terry McLaurin was cleared for week five against the Rams. He was dealing with a thigh issue.
Well, that's huge for, Kyle Allen.
Huge for Kyle Allen making his first start.
McLaurin is really,
really good.
Really good.
Really good.
Yes.
Joe Mixon was dealing with a shin injury. He is practicing today, so he looks good to go off of his huge week last week.
Yeah, I know. His shin looked really good to me last week when he was personally along with Dak destroying my fantasy team that scored 140 points and still lost.
I think he had over 200 yards, total yards.
I don't know why that's news, but it is news for me.
About your fantasy team?
Yeah, not news to me. Yeah. It's news for me.
How is your fantasy team going?
Let's move down your rundown.
Oh, cool. Bad news for you, TJ. Tyron Smith, Cowboys tackle. He is going to have neck surgery and miss the rest of the season.
I'm getting nothing but bad news.
Correctable issue, so he should be back next year, but obviously terrible news because he's now out. Well, Collins is out for the season, and obviously Travis Frederick had retired, so that once amazing Cowboys offensive line now down three superstars.
That is significant news out of Dallas, out of the Metroplex. Does that mean they're going to throw it more? Because they're going to run it less?
I don't know. I'm going to try to guess what it means.
Oh, man.
There were people, you know, Jane Slater reported that yesterday on her Instagram. And
yes.
The comments, the people commenting are just like,
what were the comments?
Just imagine social media. Just basically like how Smith should retire. He sucks. He's using words I can't use on Peacock.
Well, he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, the guy for 10 years, he's been all world. And now you're going to talk bad about him because his body's breaking down after being at the very top of his game for 10 years?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I guess that's not news to me or for me that somebody would be trolling on Instagram. But it's true. It's a crazy-ass world. But that is a big piece of news out of Dallas.
A couple injuries from last night. We mentioned Vita Vey. He was having a fantastic season. Was the third-rated inside defensive lineman from Pro Football Focus this year. He broke his leg. Likely done for the year. We'll know a little bit more on that later on.
That's awful.
And also Bears starting guard James Daniels. Torn pec. He's out for the season, according to Tom Pelissero.
Yeah, I think Vea blew through and blew up a play the minute that Daniels went out.
Yeah.
He beat up his backup. And then minutes later, the guy's on the cart. Second straight week, the Bucs have put someone on a cart for what appears to be an ankle injury, Achilles and heel for O.J. Howard, and now Vea for the rest of the year.
More good news for Washington. Chase Young had missed a couple games with a groin injury.
Let's see.
Questionable. So trending in the right direction against the Rams.
Okay.
NBA, Goran Dragic looks like he's doubtful tonight, though. We saw Bam last week and was effective.
But, I mean, he tours plantar, right?
Yeah, he's got a significant injury, but there was hope that he was going to try to play at some point in the series.
Do you think the Heat have told him to roll his foot on a baseball like you've told me for my plantar?
No, because it's tore, not just like hurt like yours. Right. It would work for you. Brockman was rolling a ball under his foot today.
Is that right? Were you doing that today?
I was just doing it to just, you know, a little stress relief. Felt good.
Stress relief. Okay. So, but no, Dragic is not walking through that door. He's not even hobbling through that door.
You can't move with that.
It's over tonight, right, Chris? It's over tonight.
Yeah,
it's over tonight. Everyone get ready. All you Laker haters, get ready. LeBron, oh, by the way, it's over. It's definitely over. You know why? They're wearing the Mamba jerseys tonight.
Yeah.
They're planning 4-0 in the Mamba jerseys.
Their plan was to wear it games 2 and 7. They had it in game 7 if necessary.
Right.
And I don't mean the if necessary in game 7 being necessary. I meant if it was necessary for them to require the karma of the Mamba jerseys in the final game, do or die for everybody game of the year. They decided, you know what, let's move that up to game 5. Let's do it tonight.
Yeah.
Which is a move like basically saying we don't want to leave these on the hanger. We want to lift the trophy in them. And seeing that made me think, that's a wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm a karma person.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe in this sort of stuff, paying it forward, higher powers. People shining down, looking down. I believe it. For the Lakers to basically say, that game 7 plan, move it up. Because we feel good. We sense it's a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
What if they lose? Do they break them out the next game?
Whoa.
Why not?
I mean,
why not? You're the one who's saying, are you raining on the parade that you're asking what time it is?
I'm trying to stay impartial, man.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, lastly, real quick, the quick golf note. Bryson DeChambeau, first round out since winning the U.S. Open.
Yes, sir.
Masters coming up, wondering if he's got any rust. He shot a 9-under opening round.
So he's doing all right?
To be the leader. He's doing all right.
Okay.
At the Children's Shriners Hospital Open in Las Vegas.
Okay. See, he's ready to go.
62 yesterday. Yeah, he's good. He's good to go.
Remember the Tigerizing of the course?
Oh, yeah.
So what are we going to call it? Brysonizing or DeChambeauizing?
How do they make the courses any longer?
You can't. That's it.
He drove a 385-yard par 4 yesterday.
Isn't that correct that they have, in fact, run, like, for real?
They're out of room in Augusta.
They've run out of real estate in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah. It's as big as the course is going to be.
4 football fields almost. That's insane.
What are you talking about?
385 yards.
Yeah, he drove a 385 par 4 yesterday.
That's crazy.
In Las Vegas.
That's insane.
He's good.
This just in.
That's breaking news.
Is that your news update
That's what we got.
Okay.
Big hit of the llama.
Let's go to Bernardo in Santa Clarita, California. What's up, Bernardo?
Go blue, Rich.
Attaboy. Right back at you.
It's
coming up, by the way. Bernardo. Big Ten football's coming up, right?
Coming up.
It's coming. It's coming. I'm excited for it, but I just hope everybody stays safe, man.
Hey, you and I, you and me both, sir. Yes.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say hi to Sarah Tiana's baby daddy. What's up, baby daddy?
What to do, baby boy?
That's a beautiful masculine child you got there, buddy.
You want to say, yeah, beautiful masculine child who's looks great. He looks great.
So I'm just calling to maybe get some help with my Jets here, Rich.
Yes.
We have a, you know, typical Jets start to the season. I think we're all used to this by now. But what I'm truly waiting for is which useless win are we going to get to screw us out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes? I'm waiting. Which one do you think it'll be? Because you have experience. You know that there's some way they're going to just twist the knife just a bit. So I'm just curious. Your 2 cents, please.
All right. Let's do this together. Could it be this week against the Arizona Cardinals? I don't think so. That's Joe Flacco out there. At the Chargers, I don't think that's it. Buffalo, forget it. At Kansas City, forget. Let's throw New England out. There's a couple of Dolphins games that kind of reek of throw the records out. Home against the Raiders. That could be one where they just wake up. At Seattle.
That's the one. That's the one. Somehow, whenever we fly west, the Raiders seem to get us. Wouldn't it be funny if, you know, they just got us in this way?
By the way, that's it. Good one right there, man. But it's not the black hole anymore where the Jets would just go out there and have their season go torn asunder when they think they're going to make the playoffs because the Raiders would beat them, or you know, Geno Smith made a stupid play, or Rex turned his back to the field and didn't see what was going on that required his attention as head coach because he was too busy paying attention to the defense. I think those all happened in Oakland at one point or another. I think that's the one right there, man. Week 13, just when you think they're out, the Jets will pull you right back in, man. That's it. That's the one.
I give up the Jets.
Well done. That's Bernardo using Oiga Vault, ladies and gentlemen, from Santa Clarita, California. There you go. Flacco is starting a game for the Jets. If it goes according to plan, if that game goes off. Joe Flacco.
We talking playoffs or what?
We're definitely not. That was the Giant fan who called it prior to the season.
But it's good for all of them.
By the way, I found a website that calculates postseason probabilities. The Jets are at 3% to make the playoffs. So
not yet, not quite yet. My milk in my fridge. We're 2% family.
Well, you're 1% to make the second round.
Whoa. What about the percentage of getting the first overall pick? Does that site calculate that?
Let me look.
Jets still in front there.
Yeah, here we go. Draft order. Let's
Jets
see.
Still in front there.
Jets 19%.
Who's ahead of them?
No, they're leading the way. 19%.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, rich. Giants, Falcons, rich. Texans, 15%.
Oh, there's a chance, baby.
They're still alive.
Where are the Cowboys?
Cowboys, 4% for first overall.
Not quite milk. Oh, baby. Don't blow it, Jets. You're right there.
I can make a meatball with it, though. 4% fat.
Somebody sent our buddy, not somebody, GMAT. You know, Jerry Madelon?
Yeah.
Sent me a meme. It was on the top. Fred, I think, is his character's name from Scooby-Doo. Okay. The handsome one.
Yeah.
From Scooby-Doo.
That is Fred.
Fred is reaching out for Adam Gase, who's all tied up.
Ripping the mask off?
And they ripped the mask off of Adam Gase, and it's Rich Kotite underneath. And I thought to myself, do I tweet this out? Do I Instagram it out? Do I do that?
Did you do it?
No, I'll just talk about it on my show.
There you go.
And I would have got away with it, too.
It wasn't for you meddling kids.
Well, meddling kids. You know what's so crazy? This is what's so crazy. This is how things can change in the NFL. Literally, it's about 3 years ago, right? Probably three. Not two. Three. 3 years ago, there was an argument. Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback in the NFL?
Oh, well, yeah.
Elite Flacco? Remember the elite Flacco?
It was a big deal.
Yeah. Not so elite. Oh, my God. Joe Flacco starting for the Jets.
What if Flacco...
I mean,
hold on. What if Flacco goes full Fitzpatrick and costs you guys the number one pick?
That would be a shame. We've got to stop it, basically. It's one of those things we got to stop it. Like, I might, if this starts, I might learn how to fly and circle the earth to stop it from spinning and pull a Superman to get back in time and stop it from happening.
And somehow get James Morgan out there to play. He's your
captain.
Yes,
let's get the captain out there. James Morgan. Oh, Oiga Vault, as Bernardo would say. Here's how we're rolling. I've got three games nobody's talking about. Chris Brockman's got three games that'll make you money, and I've got the unlockiest lock of the week, and I've got Nate Burleson, and I've got your phone calls. That's how we're rolling the rest of the day.
Let's go.
America's sweetheart. You just smile seeing Nate Burleson's face. A delight. Nate joins us next on The Rich Eisen Show. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. You know what's really scary?
seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to GEICO. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, GEICO can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, people, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to GEICO and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. All right, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in about a minute. We'll take the phone call of Nate Burleson, who's going to be joining me. Last time I saw Nate was in Tampa, Florida, actually. So we had a lot of Tampa conversations today. It was me, Nate, and Joe Thomas in the booth, week 16 last year.
That's right.
When Jameis Winston threw a pick six to start the game against the Houston Texans, only to have it called back after the interception due to a penalty that the Texans incurred running it back in. They scored. Then Jameis threw an actual pick six that didn't get called back.
Are you then sure Jameis, it was, are you sure it was Jameis or was it Deshaun Watt?
Then Jameis started a comeback. And then Deshaun Watson was furiously performing. I was the one who mixed up their names for a full 2 minutes until Susie texts me, like, you're calling Jameis Winston Watson and Watson Winston, and it's driving me crazy, and you need to address it on the air. And then Winston, not Watson, was throwing to a receiver named Watson to make it even worse. And then confusing. Winston, not Watson, almost won the damn game anyway. And then Winston, not Watson, threw a pick six to end the season for the Bucks, leading to Brady to be signed there. Crazy. Make all sense? That's the last time I saw Nate Burleson.
Crazy.
When I had my head so far up my ass, I didn't know what I was saying on national television. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, as well as Sirius XM, and also Peacock. And I love seeing this guy and the success that he has had. I met him for the first time when he was a member of, I think it was the Vikings. He had not even yet been on the Lions, and he would come in and hang out on NFL Total Access and show off his broadcasting chops that now is shown on sports and entertainment shows, not just Good Morning Football, but also the NFL Today on CBS, and also I don't want to mess up the entertainment outfit that he's part of as well, but he's Nate Burleson on the Rich Eisen Show. Which one is it, Nate? Extra? You're an extra man, correct?
Yep, that's right. It's extra entertainment. And I must admit,
keep up with
that Winston to Watson, Winston to Watson, it was very confusing.
And I felt so bad because I'm the one sitting next to Joe Thomas, and he's the one who's never done it before. And I'm like, just take it one snap at a time. And I'm the idiot standing to his left calling the game and botching names left and right last year. But it was a great broadcast nonetheless, I thought. It was a great time, Nate, working with you last year like we did.
It really was, and I enjoy being able to hang out with you, not same, just personally but professionally, and sharing the booth with you. It's funny, though, because as we were criticizing Jameis Winston, like every Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan and all the sports fans, saying, oh, here's Jameis again throwing a pick six. Only if we had a quarterback, I mean, a good quarterback, a veteran quarterback, maybe a legend, somebody that doesn't throw pick sixes, and they signed Tom Brady. And since that time when we were in the booth together, I believe Tom Brady has thrown two pick sixes if we include the postseason against the Titans, and then, of course, earlier this year.
Yes, indeed, and he actually threw one last week also in a win, you know.
Yep.
So he's done it a couple of times. Now, though, we're sitting here talking about last night's game. Do you think, Nate, in all the football that you have played and observed and talked about, that Brady did, in fact, lose track of the downs last night?
I believe he did. I'm not going to try to cover up for Brady. You know, anytime you look at the ref, and you give him those eyes with the four fingers up,
yes,
asking as if, you know, you think that there's another down. And I saw a tweet, and Eisen, don't get mad at me, but I saw a tweet. Somebody said it must be a Michigan thing, and it was a side-by-side with him and Weber.
Time
I
out.
Didn't agree with
oh,
it. And just so you know,
boy,
I did not like it either. Okay? We're on the same page.
You're just letting me know that we're lockstep on that front, that you also did not like it, but you like to talk about it.
I like it.
But you're right. That indication of four fingers up in the air is not like, so the Bears are 4-1 now, right? I mean, like that would definitely lead to something. But the greater issue, again, is that, you know, that, yes, even if Brady did lose track of downs or something like that,
is that it's kind of the cherry on top of the lack of discipline or situational smarts that sometimes this team displayed last night. And that fact that Brady committed that means that this team is still not yet on the same page, as we'd like to say, in the NFL. What do you think about the 3-2 Bucks now after what you saw last night, Nate Burleson?
It's such a strong contrast between what was last week in the 5-touchdown game and then also, you know, what we've seen early on in the season. We were talking about it on Good Morning Football, and the question was, have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hit their stride? And I wanted to say yes, but given the fact that you had a hobbled Mike Evans out there, you have Chris Godwin, who was one of the premier wide receivers in the league, on the sideline, and still Gronk trying to find some type of rhythm out there within this offense, I had to answer no, they haven't hit their stride. And I think there's a bigger question is, did this offseason, with quarantine and not being able to be in the same building, study inside the football classroom, did that play a role in Tom Brady not being as prepared as he typically is? Because we know Tom Brady is a student of the game, but as we see with the mental errors and also the mistakes, not necessarily the mistakes, but the injuries that we've seen in football, I think the offseason, or the lack thereof, has played a crucial part in some of these teams stubbing their toe figuratively and literally with some of these injuries. But I do feel like Tom Brady and the Bucks, they're a decent team. You know, it's rare that we talk about Tom Brady and any teams that he's on and saying that they're decent. But I'm not going to BS you and say, oh, they're great and they're perfectly fine. No, they're not. They're not perfectly fine. And given the fact that this quarterback is in his mid-40s, there's never been a threat to run in the pocket, and you see he does not want to get hit. And anytime there is a collapse of the pocket, like we saw last night, Khalil Mack being an absolute monster,
yes,
I believe that it's going to be trouble for those guys, for any defense that can collapse the pockets on Brady and make those windows very small.
So now that we're one game into the second quarter of this season, the best team in the NFC is? Fill in the blank, sir. What do you got?
The Seattle Seahawks. You know, I feel like the best quarterback in the NFL is Russell Wilson. The best team is the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, you get Jamal Adams back, him along with Bobby Wagner, and then that front. I mean, tell me another defense that is as scary as that. And then offensively, DK Metcalf has arrived, folks. I mean, this isn't your, oh, he's pretty good. This second-year wide receiver, he's going to be decent, and he's going to have a good career. No, this dude, if he continues to trend in the right direction, as I see him in, he's going to be mentioned as the best receiver in the game in a matter of 2 years or less. And then he's complimented by Tyler Lockett. And luckily, Chris Carson wasn't too injured with that egregious Gator role that was done him in that Cowboys game. But he's back in the fold. So you add all of those elements. Seems like they have everything. So I do feel like the best team in the NFC is the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, another player who's going to hope to follow in your footsteps, and I think he will, from the NFL to an outstanding broadcasting career, Nate, is Greg Olsen, who prior to the season came on this show, and I asked him his impressions of seeing DK Metcalf up and close and personal. He said he's got Calvin Johnson-type ability. You are somebody who would know, based on what you're seeing, if that is something similar. What do you think about that? It's a very, very high standard to reach. But what do you think, Nate?
No doubt about it. That's high praise. But, you know, when it comes to Calvin, I remember the first time I saw him. And I just signed with the Detroit Lions, and I'm sitting back. I'm going through practice. I get in the locker room, and I'm kind of in awe. You know, I'm a fan of just real talent. And I'm not going to be the guy to front and act like I'm on the same level as certain dudes that I'm in awe of.
Right.
It happened with Randy Moss, and then it happened when I signed with the Detroit Lions. And I get in the locker room after practice, and the media swarms my locker, and they're talking about me signing there and why I signed with the Detroit Lions. And the next question was, well, listen, you played with Randy Moss, and you were on the field with Calvin today. You know, we've had some trouble with number one wide receivers. You know, we had Roy Williams and Charles Rogers, rest in peace, because he passed away. You know, is Calvin the guy? I mean, what do you see out of Calvin? I mean, do you think that he can really hold down this organization as a wideout? I'm talking about a true number one. And I'm sitting back, and I wanted to give him that James Harden roll my eyes, walk away from the interview phase. Because I'm like, what dude are you guys looking at? You've been here since he's been drafted. I spent 24 hours here in Detroit. I haven't even unpacked my bags, and I can already tell this dude is the best wide receiver in the game. And that's kind of what I said. And they were like, okay, you know, we'll see kind of thing. And sure enough,
within a couple of years, Calvin Johnson broke Jerry Rice's record and was the most unstoppable force. So for Greg Olsen, who's been around the game and has seen pure talent, for him to say that, I mean, I agree with him 100%. DK has all of it. He's built like David Boston. He can run routes like Julio Jones, and he's starting to develop these soft hands like Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, that's one hell of a combination. Oh, and not to mention, he's playing Russell Wilson, who could be the coolest quarterback to ever catch a ball from, because he's just like a big brother that wants to see his little brother win.
And he also throws a great ball, too, right? I mean, I think he and I think he and Aaron Rodgers throw a deep ball where it seems like it drops straight down a chimney. Like, it literally comes straight down, like, right at you, and it just puts it right there. It's a perfect combination. So that's why, obviously, Seattle's going to be tough to beat. And then in the AFC, the team that has the best chance to knock off the Chiefs after through 4 weeks would be which team, Nate Burleson? Which one?
You know, I so desperately want to say the Ravens. And if I do, people will sit back and say, Nate, well, you saw the game. That was a struggle for Lamar in that office. And it was. I'm not going to sit here in front, but I will say this. And this isn't me being an apologist for the Baltimore Ravens or even Lamar Jackson. They had some early drops in that game. And you have some early drops in a game versus the Chiefs. That's like playing against the Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and missing 5 threes in a row. And on the other end of the court, their fast-paced transition offense, they bust down those 5 threes. They open up games quickly. I say that to say this. It's the same thing facing the Chiefs. If you have a couple of mistakes, if you drop a ball, if you give up a big play, and then you don't counter back, they're going to open up the game and they'll have control of it. I mean, with the ability of Pat Mahomes, his discernment with the ball, because he's not going to throw the game away, and then the game plan of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, like, it's just tough to beat those guys. You know, I'll throw in a random. It's not so random, but I'll throw in a team that, as of this week, they wouldn't come to mind because of how they got smacked around. The Patriots. I do feel like we got cheated. You know, and 2020 has been exactly that. COVID-19, the coronavirus has done everything from hurt our loved ones with all of the deaths that we've seen around the globe, put people in binds financially, and has our kids sitting out of school doing everything virtually. But in the world of football, because I want to mention those things first so I wasn't insensitive to what the real issues are, but in the world of football, I feel like Corona cheated us out of a really good matchup. I mean, you know, Cam Newton in the new Patriots offense versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, that would have been interesting to watch. And I'm not sitting here claiming that Cam Newton would have just ran through the Chiefs, but, I mean, literally, he could have ran through the Chiefs because that offense is different. The Patriots team that put the Chiefs in a bind and Pat Mahomes struggled against, Cam was running that exact offense, but he had the ability to use his legs, which makes that offense so much more dangerous. So I would like to see that at some point. That's if the Patriots season doesn't fall apart because of what just happened with Cam Newton being benched and all the guys that have already opted out of the season. But that's the team that comes to mind because I was really excited about what Cam was doing in that Patriots offense.
Me too. What about the Bills? I mean, I kind of think that they have a quarterback that can do it, again, arm, legs, defense that can maybe get in Mahomes' grill. Obviously, it's not Belichick coordinating it, but it's no slouch with Leslie Frazier. And they also have playmakers now with Diggs in that mix.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Allen, it's only just four games, but he looks the most valuable part in that regard, too. What about Buffalo, Nate?
Yeah, he is the most valuable part. I mean, he's MVP. You can either call him the most valuable part or even the most valuable player in the league. He needs to be in the conversation, too.
Yes.
I mentioned Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers is in that conversation. Cam, for a quick second, was even in it. And Josh Allen should definitely be in the conversation as MVP. He starts off the season, and he sets a career high in pass yards, and then follows that up with a 400-yard game.
Yep.
And, you know, this is the question that I posed to my crew as we were talking about this on Good Morning Football. I said, I want you to think about Josh Allen's highlights this year. Just stop for a second. I want you to think about a big play from Josh Allen. And I want you to think about the highlights from last year. What comes here is him dropping back and throwing some beautiful balls. And Stephon Diggs, the new piece, being on the other end of those throws. But last year, when you think about Josh Allen, it was a combination of both. It was him running around, sometimes like a chicken with his hair cut off, other times running over linebackers and hurtling over defenders and doing some very, very athletic stuff. But this year, it's almost like he's more comfortable within the pocket. And for anybody that really wants to check out the details and the nuances of watching a quarterback, what makes Josh Allen so different, and check him out when you watch him this weekend and moving forward, when he's in that pocket, his helmet doesn't bounce around like a bobblehead. Some of these rookies, some of these younger quarterbacks, when you see these guys in the pocket, their helmet will bounce around because it is frantic in that pocket and it is collapsing, and you're seeing where the coverage is and trying to figure out where the pressure's coming from, all the while trying to decipher your read, going from 1-2, maybe even check down, hit my running back. But Josh Allen doesn't look so panicked anymore. And you know what that is? One, it's growth, maturity. It's knowing the playbook, being surrounded by playmakers. But then also, in a reference to him being raised on a cantaloupe farm, it's his cantaloupes dropping, man. The dude is turning into a man right before our eyes. So I feel like Josh Allen in that offense and McDermott, who is in the running for Coach of the Year, you got to give them credit.
No doubt. Last one for you, Nate, before I let you go on with your day. You know, the success of Good Morning Football, it was great to hear Aikman say during the broadcast last night, after Joe read a promo for it, that he watches every day. So many people watch every day, and now you on NFL Today on CBS as well, and Extra, and you're expanding your brand and your world. What comes with that as well is people ripping you right off. What do you say when you hear toe drag swag being used by others and you don't get credit for it, Nate? How do you handle that? Because I always got my catchphrases from SportsCenter ripped straight off. And, you know, obviously it's the greatest form of flattery is this imitation. But how do you handle that, Nate, when people use it and don't give you credit?
Well, if it's too egregious, you know, I hit the lawyer. There's a couple of brands, and I'm talking about some major brands that started making some shirts, and I was like, oh, you didn't know I trademarked this when I played, huh? Okay, I'm gonna send you a quick letter, and you don't have to holler at me. But you know what, Rich? You know what it's like, and I've told you this 1,000 times, and yes. I tell you, whether we're in private over a drink or talking in front of the world, you've been one of the biggest influences. So, you know, we as a new generation of broadcasters and entertainers, because they are synonymous, we're standing on the shoulders of guys who have done it before. You, from the early NFL Network days, ESPN, to the Best Damn Sports Show, all the OGs that haven't played the game, that have played the game, that built really good platforms, and you still doing it with the Rich Eisen Show. All we're doing is we're trying to recycle what has been done before by giving credit to those who have done it before us and then adding a little bit of our own flavor. And the toe drag swag is my own flavor.
That's right, it is. And I appreciate the kind words and sentiments. So Nate Burleson, nickname for Nate Burleson would be cease and desist, it seems. You're just firing that out a little bit, huh?
Thanks.
Cease and desist.
Big business, baby.
So you trademarked that when you were a player? You did that?
Yeah, I did it a couple of times on the sideline and in the end zone. I hashtagged it, and then I made a shirt just for me and my boys to wear around. And once one person said, "Where can I buy that?" thinking like a businessman, I immediately trademarked it, started creating shirts. And from then on, I've been branding it. I did a collaboration partnership with Mitchell & Ness, and I did a collaboration partnership with the NFL Network. And so when it is said or used by any other network or brand,
yes,
you know, you only give them so many passes before you go after their, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. They can only do it so much, and then you got to go Khalil Mack on Tristan Wirfs on them, and then that'll be the end of that, you know? Then that'll be the end of that. You'll just throw them around. Nate, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You take care of yourself. You be well
no
with your
problem.
Family.
Anytime, man.
You got to keep on killing it. That's Nate Burleson of the NFL Today on CBS, Extra TV, and, of course, Good Morning Football. Tell Drag Swag. I don't recall NFL Network ever doing a partnership with me for Punters or People, too. To make a note of that, taking notes. All right.
Write that down.
Did I hear that correctly?
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. All right. take a break. Phone calls, we'll take them. Chris Brockman, Sneaky Good Games, my unlockiest lock of the week. And there are now, more than ever, it's important to show support for your team and your community. Visa and the National Football League know that local businesses help your community move the ball down the field. Small businesses everywhere are overcoming challenges in these new times thanks to teammates like you and Visa. Because when everyone pitches in, everyone benefits. Being loyal to local businesses ignites growth and supports all of us and our communities. Because they know that where you shop matters, Visa urges you to support local retailers who are making shopping safe and reliable. And remember, tap to pay with contactless Visa wherever you see the contactless symbol to help support your community. Visa, official partner of the NFL.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
That is 100% true.
What? Cats know he's not a
cat. Cats know when you don't like them. I'm not a cat guy, but every time I'm around one, all they want to do is snuggle up on you because they know that you don't like
them.
But
what if you're also a person where people know you don't like them too? Because I think that's the Instagram account we just saw. He gives off that effect to other people as well, does he not?
It's his general disposition.
One of the people rub up on him? Okay, folks, we've got ourselves a week five to get everyone else to. We got a game five tonight. We've got two game fives tonight, one that would lead to a trophy being handed out in the NBA should the Lakers win it. I think that does happen tonight. I do not dare to make a prediction about the Yankees and the Rays this evening at all.
No.
No?
Nope.
Nope.
Maybe that's what Brady was telling everyone in Tampa, that the Yankees are going to win game four.
Oh.
He was holding it up. It was kind of like the eighth inning.
Yep.
Zach Britton was on the mound, so that's a big question mark. He's just letting everyone know he's calling a shot.
I thought he might have been shouting out Ric Flair and Arn Anderson
By the way, I do believe, Don Bowie, who does an incredible job making sure that everything runs on time here, works on time here. He is a fantastic producer, executive, coordinating all of it. He's doing it all. But he's also a Saints fan. Have you noticed the pictures of Tom Brady that he keeps showing?
So sad.
From the Saints game. Yeah.
There's this one from the Saints game.
So sad.
And then, Don, I noticed the shot that you keep putting up when every time I talk about how the Bears are playing defense last night. No, not that one. There's another one that he's been showing. It's not very flattering of Tom Brady. That's the one right there.
There we go.
He's getting hit in the face.
I don't. Just saying. There's other pictures that can be shown to tell a story. Just saying. They're not good. I'll just describe. He's saying he only has four pictures of Brady. That's interesting. That's interesting for the radio audience. None of them are flattering of Tom Brady. Just think about any moment on television could be frozen and your eyes are closed and your face is contorted. Not good. Chad in Cincinnati, let's take your call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Chad?
Rich, you just mentioned the Jets game against the Cardinals, and
yes.
You know me being a Cardinals fan, I'm very panicked, and I'm pretty nervous about this game, Rich, and I'm concerned at how quickly you were just like, yeah, the Jets have, the Cardinals have nothing to worry about. We've looked pretty bad, Rich. So I just want to go higher register and say that if we lose to the Jets this weekend, you might want to check on me because I'll be looking for bridges.
There you go. Very good. Chad in Cincinnati, everybody. We like it when people follow our higher register lead right there. Not bad, Chad. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Well done. Anything with the Jets, you got to go higher register to believe right now. I'm just hoping that that positive that they got is a false positive and that everyone can play. Yeah. Let's keep going.
Maybe Flacco will win some games.
Oh, stop. Here are three NFL games that nobody's talking about. I give you these on Friday just to go a little bit deeper, and then Chris Brockman's going to give you some sneaky good games to make some money on. I'm not telling you how to wager, and I'm not making any predictions on this. But the three games that I have directly in front of me, two early, one late, Carolina and Atlanta, people. Things are getting late real early in Atlanta, and I believe that if there is an owner in Atlanta who is impatient or has been patient enough, quite honestly, you can make it that case. Having Carolina come in and win their third consecutive game, all without Christian McCaffrey, to take a 3-2 record, which would be tied for first place in the NFC South. Carolina could join Tampa, and if New Orleans wins on Monday Night Football, a three-way tie atop a division that would have an 0-5 Atlanta team in it. I think the clock might strike midnight in Atlanta. And then there's a big opportunity for Carolina. Could you imagine they could go from 0-2 losing Christian McCaffrey for a period of time to winning all three of those games without him? What a major moment this is in that game. And a lot of implications there. Then you've got the Cincinnati Bengals and the Ravens. I know that the Lamar Jackson's good to go, the old GTG, but maybe we see RG3. I don't know how he is going to look. Maybe Lamar wings it around and looks great and is running around. But here comes Joe Burrow's first crack at the defending kings of the division. I'm just intrigued by that, and we'll put a little bit of a pin in that for a moment.
Joe Burrow, 4-0 against the spread this year, Rich.
Okay. I don't know what you mean by that. And then the late window game that is intriguing to me that few people are talking about, 3-1 versus 3-1, Indianapolis versus Cleveland. The Colts just announced, it was just reported, Darius Leonard and left guard Anthony Costanzo are out. Here comes Cleveland. No Nick Chubb, but I have a very earnest feeling about this offense. And here comes Cleveland, potentially. They could go 4-1. And if the Colts win, 4-1 could be good enough to lead this division after 5 weeks. Those are my under-the-radar games. Lots on the line with those three games.
Talking playoffs or what?
For Cleveland? Yeah, we could. We could. All right, before we get to Chris Brockman's sneaky good games, I do want to take this phone call because I know he's got a kid at home and he loves our show and he's been trying to talk about his Bills all week. And I've noticed when you're on and you hang up, Matt, I see it all from this chair and I want to give you your shot. What's up, Matt?
How you doing?
What's going on,
bro? We're
not
even going to talk about the poop show with the Titans this week. I ain't going there.
Okay, what do you want to
go? But my problem is I'm tired of Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
Okay.
They've been spouting at me all week about how the Bills' offense is only good because they haven't played anybody. Well, here's a newsflash for you, Steelers. The combined record of the teams the Steelers have played have won one game all year.
That's right.
It's the Broncos over your stinky Jet. So come to Buffalo later this year. We're going to kick your ass with Roethlisberger and get over it.
I'm telling you, man, you've got to – I don't blame you for talking that way, not just because you're cooped up with a small child in the pandemic, but the fact is that you have every right to feel like the Bills
–
No. I think you have every right to feel like the Bills are going to back your play. I really feel that way.
They're going to back their play unless Josh Allen breaks both of his legs. They cried last year when we beat them in Pittsburgh when they had duck dodges.
Right.
Bring Roethlisberger to Buffalo. We'll kick your butt there. Go home and shut up.
Thank you very much, Matt from Oklahoma. I'm glad I got him because it seemed like he had a lot pent up there, and I'm glad that he got it off his chest. Bills fans have every right to feel like the Bills can do whatever the hell they want. This kid is amazing. Diggs, yeah. Brown, Singletary.
Fun team, man.
Knox, Beasley, defense, special teams. They're big. They're tall. They're physical. They're coming at you. Josh Norman's making plays on the back end that's already stout enough. McDermott was my preseason pick for coach of the year. Feeling good about that one.
I think you should be, yeah.
And Mahomes was my preseason pick for MVP, and I'm feeling good about that one too. But I think he's already in like that category of Phil Jackson and Bill Belichick never get coach of the year because we just assume it. Let's get to Chris Brockman's sneaky good games here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's Chris Brockman with sneaky good games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
Okay, Christopher, let's make people
okay,
some
guys,
cash, I guess.
2-0-1 last week, 7-4-1 on the season. So we're back. And Rich, you talked about Cleveland and Indianapolis.
You like it.
Give me the Browns. It's a pick 'em right now. I'm going to take them the win straight up. They are 6-1 straight up in the last seven home games. You talked about how they might win for a fourth straight time. You know the last time they did that? 2009. They won the last four games of the regular season. So it's been over a decade since the Browns won four straight, and I like them to win on Sunday. Next, give me the Giants and Cowboys total. I'm going over 54. It's gone over in six of the last eight Giants games against the NFC East, over in four of Dallas's last five games, and five of Dallas's last six games at home. No defense in this game. Might as well be played in Alice, Texas. No D in Big D.
Wow.
Eagles and Steelers going the other way, going under 44.5. Steelers haven't played in 2 weeks, and the Eagles, you really don't know what you're getting week to week. Under in five of the last seven Eagles October games, eight of Pittsburgh's last 11 games, under 44.5.
All right. So last night's game would have fit in the under right there.
Yes, it did. Poor McLovin.
Oh, did he get the pie?
I believe so.
Okay. All right, let's get to my unluckiest lock of the week here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's hit that.
Lock it down. Or maybe leave it wide
Thank
open.
Thank you very much. All right, my
unluckiest lock of the week.
There you go, which is, again, I'm hooked on a feeling. I just have a feeling this is going to happen. Do not take it to any bank whatsoever. You know how much I love the Ravens. I love the Ravens, and I love Lamar Jackson, and I love everything about the Baltimore Ravens. But I don't know why I've got a feeling that Joey Burrow is going to get You wanted unluckiest lock of the week.
This is so unlucky.
I know.
Two touchdowns unlucky.
I like what I'm seeing out of him. I think he's going to take the hits and keep on ticking. I think Mixon can show the toughness. I think that he can make some plays, and I think he can go into Baltimore and shock people.
Whoa.
That's my unluckiest lock of the week is Bengals over the Ravens. I don't think I'll take it on game day morning. I'm not, I'm not that. I'm also a couple games behind because
you don't want to give up.
I've tried to be consistent by choosing the unluckiest lock of the week there too, and I'm 0-4 on that. Even though I'm very close with horseshoes and hand grenades, you could be close there, but not with this. I don't know why. I just had that feeling. Mm. Nothing else spoke to me other than that.
Wow.
So there's
because
that.
There are some big lines. You could have went in a few directions.
Well, that's the one I chose.
I like it.
You have something to say?
I have a picture of what the boat ride would look like if we do it.
Oh, really?
You come. Yeah.
Okay, this is sort of put it up. Used yep. as something for me to, oh, gosh,
go.
There
yep.
it is. That's me funny. As Gilligan. You with a very weird sort of Alan Hale face swap right there for the skipper. And Ginger, still looking like Ginger. Very good.
Leave some grapes.
With some grapes. Very good.
How about that?
I don't know if I want that 3-hour tour. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I want that 3-hour tour.
That was so weird about Gilligan's Island. Like, they would have all these.
Nice photo.
They would have That's all like, the Globetrotters photo. Would come and like all these celebrities.
And they would leave.
And then they would leave. Why couldn't we get Why the same transportation for them?
I don't know. I don't know if you were, as a Gilligan's Island fan, supposed to think it through. You know? That you were just supposed to take your disbelief, suspend it, and leave it there. Right? Like, honestly, that Marianne and Ginger and the professor and Thurston Howell would be happily married on an island with Ginger and Marianne. It's just tough. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
That real world realities never existed there.
I never
it's
got
supposed
that.
To just suspend it and leave it there. That's all.
Okay.
I'm here for you, Chris.
Just saying.
I'm here for you.
It was really weird.
I wish I was there for you as a kid, if like, that's what you're wondering, sitting there at home.
They got off the island. Why couldn't
Curly Neal and
crew
got off?
That's right.
Globetrotters.
Yeah, why couldn't they go with the Globetrotters? Yeah. Why couldn't they say, hey, Metal Lark Lemon, take me?
Like,
take
hey,
me.
Look. Can we just, you got to have room on the whatever, however you're getting off.
Thank you to Tom Pelissero, Nate Burleson, and Rick Stroud, and you. Another week of ours here on Peacock is in the books. We will be back with you on Monday reviewing everything going on in the NFL. I am hopeful that everything that is scheduled goes off as planned. I think on Monday we will be talking about a Lakers championship. And man, would it be just amazing if we're talking about Yankees and Astros again. I would leave my shirt on because the buzzer would be there. See you then.